We want God's Spirit. Just as everything this morning, from the announcements to the worship, you know, we need to become more aware of His presence. Because that's the thing that's going to change us. These things in this world will not change us. As disciples, all of us here are disciples of Christ. At the cross, we're level. Nobody's above each other. We work together and we help each other because we need each other. Every part of the body is important. Don't let the enemy fool you. At times, you'll hear that voice saying, "You're no good. You don't measure up. You could do more." Now, God's Spirit will move too, but He doesn't condemn. That's the big difference. God's Spirit is there to encourage and to lift up, to give you faith, to give you hope in more than what you see. But in this flesh, sometimes the enemy knows, oh, if I just come up and speak to Mike, you know, Mike, you're no good. Well, if you're in the wrong mood, oh man, I'm not any good. But thank God we know all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But thank God by grace we are saved through faith, that not of ourselves. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. Today, you are righteous, not because of who you are, but because of who you are in Christ. You've been clothed with Christ. He has become your outer garment, just as the priests would come into the temple with the garments that showed the glory of God, the understanding, the majesty. They all had components that meant something. In you, Christ is made whole, or you're made whole through Christ, and actually through the body, we are made whole. That's what I'm getting at, is the idea that as a body, we are one in Christ, and understanding that He knows exactly the plan He has for you. He knows exactly what you need. And everyone here has such a vital part. It's so easy to look and think, oh, I can't do anything. Pray. Seek God. Know that He will be there to listen, to give you direction, to give you understanding beyond what you know. Because that's what's important. You know, through this morning, it's very easy to blow past everything, to blow past the way God was moving. And we can't. We need to take that time to listen to God's Spirit, to hear that He has a better plan for us. He knows exactly what you need, and He will give it to you. Maybe not in the timing you want. Maybe not in the way you think it should be. But He has a plan. He knows exactly what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows exactly what this afternoon is. So we could trust in Him and know that we serve a living God. By His Spirit, we're made whole. And this is funny because this isn't anything that I was going to speak on this morning, but I felt so strong. I really did at one point. Let's just keep on worshiping. Let's just keep on, you know, going to God, because it was so good to be in His presence, to feel that. Now, we know we don't just walk by our feelings. We walk by faith. But you can't help but feel when God's Spirit is moving, to feel the love and understanding. That's the good Father, understanding He loves us so much. He cares for us. When we fall, He runs to us. He holds us in His arms. He lifts us up. He brings us to the point where He says, "Son, daughter, I have such plans for you. If you would just turn to me." And that's what all we need to do. We don't have to figure everything out. That's the key. You don't have to figure it out. But when you turn to God and you pray and you seek His will, He is going to answer. He is going to answer because He is a good Father. But we do need to, as we sang, be more aware of His presence. And this morning, I just wanted to take that time to understand that a little bit, to speak about it, because it's so easy to blow past it and just go on and do the service. That's not what it's about. We want to be more aware of His presence, to understand that, because we don't want to miss God, do we? We want to know His presence. John 15, 1 through 8. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean, understanding you're justified through Christ. Because of the word I've spoken to you, remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. See, again, this word, God knows exactly what he's doing. I'm amazed at how the word comes together with the worship and even the announcements. We need to understand that. Because you can do nothing without me. That's the key, seeking God. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them. They throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Let's pray. Father God, take this word, help it to be revealed to our heart. Help us to see your word and apply it and to become true disciples, Lord, who look to you and find our strength in you, Father God. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you notice at the beginning of the two different paragraphs, it says, I am the vine. Something I won't get into too much, but it's the idea that Jesus is the I am. Theologically, it was a little something saying, I am God. You guys don't see it yet, but I am. It wasn't, Jesus knew what he was saying. It's the same phrasing that makes us understand that he is saying, I am the God who is I am, the Father. I am the vine. Big difference. I hope we remember that, because it's something to know these little notes that help us to know the word and understand so that it becomes more real to us. It's very, very important to know these things. And producing fruit as a disciple comes from being attached to the vine. It's very easy to understand when we're not connected to something. You know, what we would do when I would do plumbing is we would run the lines and then check all the lines and then turn on the faucets. You know, if the water's not coming through, we did something wrong. There's no flow. And same thing when the water's going out, we had to check all the connections. If it's leaking, well, then there's an issue. But when we abide in Christ, he's doing the checking. He's checking those lines, saying, you know, Roger, you could do better. You know, study a little more. Work harder. You know, understand what my word means. I love to study theology and doctrine because it helps me to understand that what the word really means sometimes and understand that there's more. God has such a greater plan for us. Sometimes it's hard to see, but when we get into the word and understand that there's a deep theological meaning sometimes, it helps us to know how much he cares about us. You know, it's like when you have kids. You know, if you love them, which most people do, you know, it's hard to express, right? You know, how much do you love your kids? Oh, you know, if your heart was open and really ready, you couldn't stop talking. You talk about the stories, oh, when my child was little, he did this and he did that, because of such a great love and understanding. When I see these kids run around in the morning, it doesn't bug me at all. I love to see that, because that's what kids are supposed to do, you know, and we're supposed to love them and care for them. That's how God does for us. He loves us so much and understands that we, you know, he just sees his children, and it's hard to think about us sometimes as children, but that's what we are. You know, we want to be all grown up, and that's good too, but the thing is, as children, we come to God saying, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't understand today, God. I've been there, walking around crying as a young man in a job that was just nowhere, working so hard and just, you know, thinking, God, I'm trying to take care of my family. Help me. You know, it's tough sometimes. You know, life can be tough. But when we understand the idea that the fruit that comes from our lives is not just for us, it's for others too. Everyone here needs the fruit that comes from our lives. Everything that we can give really helps each other. We don't think of that. Just the smile, to see someone smile, that means a lot. You know, I've said this before when I'm going into the stores and, you know, someone in front of me just thinks they're, I'm going to show this lady, I'm going to show her, and they're so mean to a receptionist. That is so horrible. That's a person. That's a person. They're not just a receptionist. They're not just a gas station attendant. Someone is saying, that's my son, that's my daughter. Well, for us, the fruit of the Spirit is very important because we are the light of the world. We're a reflection of the light. We reflect off of Christ, and people see Christ because of us. We understand that God uses us, how he can do everything on his own, but that's not what he chose. He chose us as people to do a great thing. And unless we can understand it sometimes as disciples, we don't really see what life is really about. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is an amazing list of things for us to live by. Sometimes it seems hard, doesn't it? Anybody got it all down? I know I don't. Sometimes I'm amazed. I hear what comes out of my voice. I'm like, wow, really? That's what you said? You know, but we make mistakes. But that's what abiding in the vine is, understanding that we come back to Christ. Because that's the only place we can go to find ourselves. We think we need to find ourselves. Well, let me do a class or study. Now, that's fine too. But again, it's all in Christ. The Pharisees and teachers of the law knew the Old Testament. They knew the laws to a T. They were phenomenal teachers. But what happened at times, they started worshiping the law more than the one that gave the law, which is a horrible concept. You forget everything. You know, it's like I was talking to someone about their kids playing sports. You know, what's more important, that your kids win or that you love your kids, even if they lose? You know, that's the key, to see things in the right light, to understand that there's a different purpose for us. You know, we're not coming into this world just to do whatever we want. We should be more aware of his presence, to see that God has a plan for each of us. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You're a masterpiece. Does anybody feel like one? No? But see, that's the key. You are still God's masterpiece. But see, what we don't realize sometimes, a masterpiece has to have restoration. And it has to be cleaned. It has to be renewed. I looked at this article I read on the internet about how they restore masterpieces. They clean it. First of all, they have to really check it. They take the time to look over every space. They put it in a room that's perfect so that it won't get hurt by too much humidity, too much cold, too much heat. They take the frame off. They expose everything. And then what happens is the people who are masters at this, they take their time, they put gloves on, they put masks on, and they start looking. They just look, and they check every part of the painting. And what happens, what I was amazed at first, because I thought it wasn't the right way to do it, there was a painting that had a bottom right corner. It was basically destroyed. Once they got it out, they realized they couldn't do it. So what they did was they go back and they use the same paint they did then and they fill it in. Now, first of all, I thought Doesn't seem right. That's not the original painter doing that. You know, like, why would you do that? But why they do that is because if that little corner wasn't fixed, what's the first thing you would see when you would look at that painting? The corner that had the issue. The corner that was losing paint, that was maybe you could see the canvas through. And I understood that because that's what God does with us. He's looking at us and he's fixing those areas that need help. He's restoring those parts that we need restored so that we can think right, that we can do right. And when he's restoring us, as the master craftsman he is, he knows exactly what we need. And it's hard for us to think, am I a masterpiece? We don't feel like it sometimes. But see, we have to know what God's word says. It's more important to understand. Right now, you are a masterpiece. This church is a masterpiece. What God is doing here is great. It's not a little thing. It's not just something that we're going through the motions of. It's very easy to think that way. But see, in this restoration process, one of the things I said is the master restorer takes a brush and just starts cleaning. And I don't mean just taking like Windex and spraying it and wiping it. They're very gentle. They look at each little area. They see a crack. Oh, we have to glue this back. They do all these little things that are so intricate because they want to see the best out of this masterpiece. Well, see, that's what God is doing in our lives. When we abide in the vine, that's exactly what he's doing. The vine restores sustenance when that plant needs it. I know for a fact that when you're planting and growing tomato plants, they need water a lot. And they say if you don't water the plant every 24 hours at least, it'll start tasting bad. It influences it. A friend of mine in the Nashville area was growing beautiful tomato plants, and I asked him, I said, man, you got some great plants. He says, yeah, but they're no good. Like, what are you talking about? Well, what happened was the people who had run his washing machine had run the drain right out there, and all this suds and dirt was getting into it. He said one day, they looked beautiful. The tomatoes were big and just gorgeous. And he said, Roger, you would gag at how bad they taste because of the influence of this, you know, wastewater and all the soap, you know. But that's abiding in the vine, in the true vine. God takes that time and gives us the things that we need to change ourselves, to be more like him. Let us become more aware of his presence. Just as this morning, like I said, to me it's amazing to feel God's presence, to see what he's doing. It's really amazing. It's very easy to think, oh, it's just another Sunday, just another day. Man, I could have went on all morning and just praised God. It was wonderful. And see, it's very easy to lose that and forget about that. I know for my wife, I take the time and tell her, I love you so much. I know you pray for me. That she tells me, I'm praying for you today. I'm praying God's blessing on you. I want the best for you. What else could you ask for? You know, that is a wonderful thing. So then what it makes me do? Honey, I just want to tell you I love you. I care about you. I know Friday was a great day for me for my sales. It's not because of who I am. I called my wife and said, your prayers were answered. Not because of who I am and what I can do. But see, that's why we have to recognize God's Spirit, because it's not about what we can do. It's very easy to think what we can do, you know. And God gives us gifts. Thank God for that. But we should always give him the glory and the honor and the praise for that. Now, there should be a picture, yep, of these suckers. Tomato suckers or side shoots are the growth that appear in the areas between the stem and a branch. If left to grow, they will become another main stem with branches, flowers, fruit and more suckers of their own. Pruning tomatoes suckers is recommended because the resulting new stem is competing for nutrients with the original plant. Pruning tomato suckers is really just thinning the plant. These little things that come in between that are trying to grow will take away from the main vine. And I think that's what happens to us in our lives. These little suckers appear in our lives that take the time away from what we should be doing. You know, I have no problem having fun and video games or whatever it could be. But if your wife is sitting there telling you, honey, I need help. Yeah, I'll get to that. Or, you know, it's very easy to let the suckers of this life, these little things that come in, to take away from what we should really be doing. We are God's people. We're not just a regular people. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We forget that. We are God's masterpiece right now. Not in the future. Right today, this very moment, we are God's masterpiece. And knowing that will help us to develop our kids, our friends, our family, our church. You can't do it without it. You know? 10 years from now, what will happen to this church? Well, what we do today affects that. You know? How are we seeking God? I know you guys are seeking God. I know you love God. I hear the time, as actually Dewey talked about this morning, and this isn't knocking anybody, because I love the worship. What worship does is take us from where we are, our minds of thinking of all this junk, our ride here, the kids, you know, stop it. It brings us into the presence of God where we can forget, okay, God, get my mind off of this junk. Help us, Lord God, to seek your face, to understand it's by your Spirit. That's what worship is, and we should want to come into his presence and understand that he has such a great plan for us. It's very easy to forget that. And again, I only say that because I know these guys are putting the time in. You know, I'm excited, you know, when I go to my regular church. As soon as I see the band get up, I stand up. I'm like, come on. This is the way God works. Get my heart right. Help me to hear that word. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Renew a right spirit in me. Because I don't always have that. We have to understand that God is here to help us. And part of it is getting rid of those suckers in our lives. It might be television or certain shows. You know, when my wife was saying something about a show on Netflix, and she goes, what do you think about it? I said, we can't watch that. And so I started watching it, and it's not good. You know, I like the actors, and I like the people, the storyline, but what they started talking about and saying, I don't need that. That's a sucker in my life. I don't need those things. You know, the things that can hurt me. And it's very easy to bypass that. Oh, I'm an adult. You know, I don't mind seeing this or that. No. That affects me. That affects the way I see other people. And especially women. It's very easy. We have such a disrespect for women these days. You know, we don't understand that. I was brought up by a mom, not by really my father. And my sisters, they were loving women who wanted the best out of me and sometimes beat the tar out of me because I was a bad kid. And back then, I didn't like it. Now I see they cared for me. My sister Barbara, man, if I did wrong, she just grabbed me and bam! Now that sounds like, wow, that's horrible. I needed it. I was so rambunctious. I needed somebody to do that to me, okay? But that's what a good person who loves us cares for. But my same thing with my daughter. I don't want to watch shows that demean women, you know, because it's very easy, especially young woman, you know, you're God has blessed you, and you're not worth, you know, you're worth more than what you know. And it's very easy for people to manipulate and to show things that are so wrong. And we need to get God's perspective and understand that. Get those suckers out of our life. We don't need those. We need to seek the things that please God and things that will affect our church and our family. We need that so bad. Philippians 2:14 through 16, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. I want to read that again. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. The things we do matter. You know, the things that we do now will help us to understand. And sometimes we don't see that. You couldn't have predicted this morning the worship, you know, the presence of God. It was magnificent. It really was. And I'm not saying because the worship team made it that way. God's Spirit moved. And it's so easy to not become aware of His presence. Oh, it's just another song. I hate this song. Oh, I wish they would sing other songs. That's not the right spirit. That's not the right attitude. We have to understand there's a plan for everything. And when we have an open heart, we can hear those things of God. We see, we feel, we understand. The presence of God was so beautiful this morning. Like I said, I wish we, in some ways, if we could do that sometimes, but that we could have just kept on going and just worshiped and bask in His presence. Because one day, that's how it's going to be. It's not going to be a little service. We might be basking in God's presence for days, just praising Him without even thinking about it. It won't bother us. It won't be boring. Because we're going to be totally different too. We'll be changed in a moment. Our spirit will be renewed. Our body will be renewed. But again, it's so easy to not see those things because we get on our own agenda. And we don't want that. We don't want our own agenda. I don't. I don't know about you. I don't want my own agenda. I don't today want you to hear my words. I don't want you to hear what I think. I don't want you to hear my perceptions. I want God's presence. If God's Spirit isn't working today, it doesn't matter. I'm amazed each week how He changes things, and He starts telling me, no, do this, do that, because that makes me understand, okay, You're working, God. And every week when I come, whenever I speak, wherever it's at, I'm a little scared. Now, somebody might say, well, why? That's a good thing. It helps you to keep you on your toes, to listen, to, God, touch me. Help me to hear those things I need to hear. When I played football as a younger man in high school, I remember, man, when you're on the field, you're just like, you're just in it, you know? You're waiting and you're, you know, if anybody's played any sports or even if whatever you've done, it doesn't even have to be sports, it could be, you know, music, it could be something you enjoy, but when you're in a competition like that, you're on edge a little, just waiting, anticipating. Well, how much more should we be when we come into God's presence? Lord, today, make this a great day. And you have already. But let my spirit become new in you and understand that there's a different way. Not what I perceive. And it's very easy to think, again, on our perspective. And I think we looked at this before, but if not, talking about the idea from Tony Evans. Sometimes when you're in a dark place, you think you've been buried, but actually you've been planted. And it's very easy to think like that. Lord, you know, you're coming in thinking, I can't pay my bills. You know, my friend's daughter's dying. You see, those are the realities of life sometimes. We forget about that. And I don't forget about it because I'm on a prayer list, and a couple prayer lists I get emailed to me whenever there's prayers. And it brings me back to reality, what's going on. 4-year-old child with a tumor, inoperable. They can't operate on it. What can you do? Pray. Believe God. Not just to pray, well, I did my thing. No, God, help that child. Help that child to be healed. Father God, help those family members, Lord, for what they're going through. Because you know in your heart what it would be like if it was your child. You know, the hurt and the pain. That's why God gives us emotions. We don't live by our emotions, but we have emotions so that we can feel and we can have love for each other. And that love goes past the church. It goes to others who aren't Christians. Because that's what real love is. That's what Christ did. You know, he looked past that. We think he just came after people who were good. What did he say? I'm coming after those who need a doctor. You know, I'm coming after those who need help. You know, it's so easy to think it's just about being good. It's not. It's about understanding that through Christ, we can be his light and we can help to reach out to those who are hurting, who have needs, and see that there's a bigger plan. You might think you don't have a plan. Get on a prayer chain. Start reading. Start studying, doing those things that are hard sometimes. You know, the things that sometimes I do are very hard to me. I read stuff that's way over my head. You know, I'll read it and I'll be honest, it's like, phew. So I read it again, and I read it again, and suddenly, oh, that makes sense. Now I got that. Where do I go from here? The reason I like that, because I like to study theology and doctrine, and it's having an open mind and seeing that sometimes we need to look past just what we see. Just like I said about people and my own wife, man, she's a blessing in my life. She loves me so much. So because of that, I care for her. You know, that's what happens. And when we get close to God, it's the same way. We start seeing those things that God cares for, which is very hard. But that's where we have to become more aware of his presence. We're planted. It's not a dark place because just we can't see. We're being used for something. What God is doing in this church right now is a great thing. It's not a little thing. The little churches are probably going to be the ones making more of an impact. I've seen it. You know, it's very easy to be in a big church and kind of everything kind of goes along by script. And we forget the Holy Spirit. We forget to see those things that God is doing. That's what we want. You know, I see the heart of this church. I see the heart of the people who want God's will. That's what we should want. We should want his will in our life. And it's so easy to look past that. One more scripture. Ephesians 3:16-18. I pray that he might grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in the inner man through his Spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts by faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, what is the width, what is the height, and what is the depth of God's love. It's very easy to not see these things. It takes effort. It takes being part of that vine to hear, to be able to understand that. And thank God when it happens. Thank God when he chastises you. The Bible talks about God loves those so much that he disciplines those because he loves them. Well, that's what a good father does. You know, I thank God my daughter's 26, and when she has a big problem, Dad, can I talk to you? Yes. I want that. I want to hear my daughter say, God, I'm not sure what I'm doing. What do you think? You know, and to let her know I'm praying for you. You know, that's the love of God. Not the love of Roger George, but the love of God who sees past the things that are in front of us. You know, this stuff that one day will not be here, but will be here. And again, to have faith through the eyes of faith, to see and to have hope that God has a bigger plan for us It's so easy to think that we're not masterpieces, but remember that today, you are a masterpiece. You might be under restoration, and you probably will for the rest of your life. God's going to have to glue some things back. He's going to have to add some paint to make it, you know, better, so that when people see you, they'll see him. You know, he'll do the things that need to be done. But it's when we turn to him, when we abide in that vine. Sue, can you? You know, that's what abiding in the vine means. One thing I understand is when things aren't connected, they don't work. One thing you could do when you're running electrical, we were doing a job, and one of the guys said, oh, do this and that. You know, go up and fix this, replace the light bulb. I said, well, let's test it. He's like, no, just go replace, and it's in a two-story building that was brand new. Well, what happens is, because I've done this work, I don't care how many pads and stuff you put on, when you put that ladder up, it's going to scuff it. And on a big wall like that, when you try to hit it just a little, it stands out. Well, what I said, let's test the electrical. Well, sure enough, there was no power. He said, no, there's power there. I said, no, there's not. Come here and look. Well, what had happened was there was another outlet over here on the left that when the drywallers came in, I guess they thought they were being funny and showing whoever did the electrical, oh, I'll show you, and they mudded over it. So there was no connection. Well, somebody finally had the brains to look at the plans and say, there's supposed to be an outlet here. Well, as soon as that was connected, everything worked. It wasn't anything with the light bulb. And sometimes that's where we have to look to God to see the practical things. Lord, what's going on? It's okay to ask God and even tell him, I'm hurting. You know, anybody ever hurts? Anybody? I know I do sometimes. And again, that enemy will come in there and say, you're no good. Anybody ever hear that voice? You know, you're no good. You don't do enough. That's not the voice of God. That is not the voice of God. And sometimes we think we're God's voice and we push others more than they should be pushed. Sometimes they don't need to be pushed. They just need a hug. Someone to talk to a little bit. So while we're in God's presence, I want to take the time, if we can, to pray. First of all, let's bow our head and close our eyes. If anyone this morning doesn't know Christ, if you need to accept him as your Savior, right now, just raise your hand. Needs prayer, we can pray. We can take the time this morning to pray. If Dewey wants to come up, we'll pray together. And we're going to trust God that he hears us.